Good evening, everybody. Now, I brought two Bibles up with me, but it's all right. It's just to help me out. I won't. Yeah. So, before we go any further, let's just pray, because I'll need help. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for all you've done. We thank thee for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And that's why we can be here tonight and up here in this platform to present what all of you have done because of our sins. And that if we just put our faith in you, that we will no longer have to perish in hell because of them. For you have dealt with our sins for eternity. And we just pray that some soul here tonight might come to realize that for themselves. And that they might put 100% of their trust in you. And you'll take care of the rest for eternity. So we thank thee for this. Pray for help as well, for the flow of words and just for guidance and help. So we thank thee for all you've done. Amen. Now, can we open with Acts 16 and verse 30? Acts 16, verse 30. Back in the New Testament, it would have been Paul, as he would have persecuted Christians, and then God would have shined the light on Paul and converted him. And then this is whenever Paul would have been preaching the gospel around cities, and he would have been thrown into prison. So him and another, Paul and Silas was his name, they would have been preaching in prison and singing songs, it says, until there was an earthquake. And everybody's chains were loose, and the guard of the prison thought that everybody had escaped, and everybody escaped. And he was just about to kill himself to get away from the judgment, but Paul said, "Do thyself no harm." But then this is what the guard of the prison had to say. Acts 16, verse 30. "And brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" That was his question right away. And Paul and Silas answering, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." We can also read, or not read, but we can also stop and think, what does he have to be saved from? You know, some people have to be saved from the water, some people have to be saved from the fire, but obviously they're talking more here. But if you're to read on, what they would be trying to tell people to repent from, or what to be saved from, is our sin. And another question we can ask is, what is sin? And I wrote the definition of sin down just to make everything simple, so I can understand it. And I figured if I can understand it, you should be able to understand it. What is sin? An immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. And then if that wasn't enough for you, you'd be like, what's transgression? Because if a sin is a transgression, I don't have a clue what transgression means. So then you go to Google and you type in, what is a transgression? An act that goes against a law, rule, or code of conduct. In brackets, an offense. So for example, let's say Ian was going fishing this afternoon. And, you know, obviously anybody can just go fishing if they wanted to. But legally, you got to have a fishing license. Let's say Ian got pulled over by, you know, conservation officers, didn't have a fishing license. He just committed an offense because he didn't have a fishing license, but he was fishing. So same thing. That's, you know, a government law we have to follow. But then you could say, okay, well, if the government laws is, you know, you don't obey them, and that's a sin, well, what's a sin against God if that's really what we have to be saved from? So let's go over to Exodus. There's two sets of Ten Commandments. Well, obviously, they're both the same, but you can find one in Exodus 20, starting at verse 3, and the other one is in Deuteronomy 5. But we'll read Exodus 20 and verse 3. So this is God's set of rules, his law, his authority of what he gave to the children of Israel. And basically he gave these laws to the children of Israel to humble them, to make them realize that they were far from being perfect and that they still needed God. But we'll read what the law he gave them. Starting at verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in within thy gates. For there is 6 days that the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Anything that is thy neighbor's. So, that's the Ten Commandments. And I don't know, while you're reading through that, me personally, I can be convicted pretty hard whether I could think back whenever I was young, or even just within this week, somebody says, did you do this? And I said, yeah. Meanwhile, I didn't do it at all. Or, you know, yeah, all the time, you know, you see that nice shiny car drive down the road and the drool starts coming out of the mouth. That's coveting. And yeah, sometimes more than others, you covet a lot. But let's continue on. That's the Ten Commandments that God gave us to follow, to prove that no one is perfect. And we'll move over to Romans. Romans 3 and verse 23. I'm just going to pick out one verse, but then that's why I brought this Bible up, because I want to read a whole section. I might come back to it later, but Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that right there says that everybody that stepped foot on this planet could not keep the Ten Commandments. Not one. So going back to sin and the transgressions, why do we have to repent? Or what does it even mean to repent? And why do we get to be saved? And, you know, being saved, if you read in the New Testament also about Paul, and when they're reading, it says he went out and was preaching at people to be saved. Or we could also read a Noah telling Nineveh to repent. What does it mean to repent? This is what it means. Feel or express regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. So that's pretty self-explanatory. So we got one more spot to read, and that's back in Mark chapter 10. Sorry to make you flip back and forth, but I'm just trying to get a point across that no one is perfect. We have all sinned. And the Bible says we all must be saved. But the main question is, what must I do to be saved? But Mark 10, verse 17. This is whenever Jesus was going from city to city. He was in this town. And then this is, we'll read the story of what his encounter was with a young man. Mark 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest me good? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." So that's what Jesus himself said to this young man, giving him the answer to how he could inherit eternal life. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So, even if he was completely right in saying, "I have followed all thy commandments," Jesus only told him half the commandments that he probably followed. But the first thing we read in the Ten Commandments was the commandments to follow God, to have no other image before him. But we can also read that this man, as much as he listened to his parents, as much as he, you know, didn't lie, loved others, he obviously had love for money greater than he wanted salvation. And obviously that was the test that God gave him. And he went away saddened because he did not want to give up what he loved. And, you know, you could also, well, me personally, you almost have to come to a point where it's, you can't think of anybody else but yourself. You can always look at somebody else and say, "Well, they're worse." But the Bible's not saying to look at other people and judge them. You have to look at yourself. But let's go back over to Romans 3. And I'll get it up in this. This gives, I could read it and then the King James Version, but to me it kind of, I start sounding gibberish to myself after a while. So this one just kind of puts it in modern English for me to understand. And we'll start reading at verse 21. It's going to be different, but hopefully you can at least understand it better from this one. Romans 3, verse 21. "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law." The requirements of the law was to sacrifice lambs to take away sin for a season. So instead of that lamb being sacrificed, the Lord Jesus himself came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins. That is why that verse in Acts says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Because he has done all that work on the cross for our sins. So, let's continue reading. keeping the requirements of the law, and as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. This is the verse I read earlier. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness. For He Himself is fair and just, and He makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. So I hope that kind of clarifies that just because, just like that man that came to Jesus and asked, how can I inherit eternal life? How bad do you want Jesus? You have to put, if your goal is to make money and be a millionaire in this lifetime, that means you have no time for Jesus. Yes, you can be a millionaire and still be saved, but it's which one are you going to put first? Obviously, you got to, it says in the Bible here to love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And that means to put Him first. And yet, whenever you put Him first, and you can ask yourself, what must I do to be saved? Just go back to Acts, where it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because He is the one, He was the perfect one from heaven, who lived on this earth, even proved He had a perfect life. He kept all the commandments, didn't even cover it over nice things. And yet He was the one that died on the cross for our sins. The sins that we couldn't even think. The only thing we could do for our sins is perish in hell for eternity. Even after eternity, if there is an end, we would still couldn't pay for our sins because we have sinned against the holy God in heaven. So I hope that you can at least stop and think it's just that easy to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just put your faith in Him. That's all you have to worry about. He worries about the rest. Actually, He wouldn't even be worrying because, you know, it's Him taking care of it. So believe on Him and thou shalt be saved.